Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Children of God, beloved of God, God sees. God sees the affliction of his people. He comes to them and he saves them. God, who brings out and orders hundreds of billions of galaxies, who sets the earth on its foundations, who filled the seas and the skies and the land with every kind of living being, God, before whom the mighty cherubim and seraphim shield their eyes and cry out in praise, God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, more ancient than the mountains and the hills, whom all heaven and earth cannot contain, who dwells in unapproachable light, whose beauty, splendor, and holiness far surpasses that of any creature and of all creatures. God, your God, sees you. He looks down on you. He cares for you. He comes to you, and he saves you. The very thought of it filled the psalmist with awe. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And yet, here he is at the burning bush, having come down from heaven to save, and declaring to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Now, the notion that there is a mighty power, a great being who sees, who constantly has his eye fixed on us, is not necessarily a comforting notion. The symbol of the all-seeing eye may strike some people as unsettling or even oppressive. The great seal of the United States has on its reverse side, it's on the back of the $1 bill, a picture of this all-seeing eye. It is a single disembodied eye, complete with one eyebrow, set in a triangle atop a pyramid and shining with splendid rays all surrounding it. The image meant different things to different people in the 17th and 18th centuries. Christians understood it as Trinitarian providence. Freemasons, rationalists, secularists understood it in other ways. I have to admit that the symbol has always struck me as a little off-putting. And then there's the Great Eye in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. The evil Lord Sauron, who is amassing power and seeking to destroy or enslave humanity, is a being without a body, but he has an eye. An enormous, red, lidless, unblinking eye ringed in fire and burning ever watchfully at its post atop Sauron's evil tower. At various moments in Tolkien's tale, characters behold the terrifying, menacing, piercing gaze of this eye. In one scene, the sight of the eye is accompanied by Sauron's voice declaring, I see you. A horrible, nauseating moment. It's not necessarily comforting to know that you are being watched by a great power. Another of the psalmists flirts with this idea in Psalm 139. Like Jonah of old, he muses about how he might flee from Yahweh's presence, from God's gaze and attention. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. But ultimately, the inescapability of God's seeing brings the psalmist comfort. even in Sheol, even in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Even there your right hand will hold me. Even in darkness your God will see, for darkness is as light to him. He saw you in your mother's womb, and he sees you still. He knows you, your heart, your thoughts, your words, your struggles, your sorrows, your affliction. For he is not just some mighty power. He is your God, and you are his people. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush, declaring, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have come down to deliver them. After all of these years of suffering in Egypt, now appears on the earth in a flame of fire the holy God of Israel. And he speaks promises, and he declares his watchful love and care. And he gets ready to act and to save and to bring them out of their affliction and out of their slavery and out of their death into a new life, into a promised land flowing with milk and honey. Promises to act, and act he does for his people. The God who has surely seen becomes the God who has surely saved. He rescues them and goes with them and dwells with them and forgives them their sins. He provides atoning blood and a mediating high priest. He plants them in a good land, just as he promised. And throughout the rest of the history of the Old Testament, God continues to watch over them. Even in times of affliction, the faithful of God held on to that confidence, singing on their way in pilgrimage to Zion, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." And in the fullness of time, the God who had seen the affliction of Adam and Eve and had come seeking them to save them, the God who had seen the affliction of Israel in Egypt and had come to them and saved them, this same mighty, holy, incomparable God saw the affliction of his people and came down to save them. Conceived in a virgin's womb, born as our brother, our Savior. He saw affliction. Already as an infant, Jesus fled from a mad tyrant, King Herod, as behind him the homes of Bethlehem were filled with weeping. And as a man, the crowds surrounded him, pressed in on him, and he beheld their affliction. Moved with compassion. Every direction that he looked, he saw trouble, sickness, grief, oppression. He saw people afflicted by demons. He saw people afflicted by leprosy and blindness and deafness and every kind of disease. He saw people afflicted by wind and waves. He saw people afflicted by false teaching. He saw people afflicted by injustice. He saw people afflicted by hunger and poverty. He saw people afflicted by broken marriages, the woman at the well. He saw people afflicted by the death and loss of those they loved, the widow at Cain, Mary and Martha. He saw people afflicted by their own sin and guilt. He himself hungered, wept, was assaulted by the temptations of the devil, suffered injustice, lies, slander, hatred, abandonment, betrayal, beatings, mocking, crucifixion. He did. Our brother, Jesus, our Savior, our God. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Our God has seen our affliction, the affliction of his people, and he has come down to save us. Friends, whatever afflictions you face, Whatever afflictions your loved ones are facing, whatever afflictions surround you, be assured of this. People of God, you people bought by the blood of Christ, claimed by God in your baptism, you people of God, be assured of this. These afflictions will not last. For God has surely seen the affliction of his people. And just as surely as he came down to deliver Israel from Pharaoh's Egypt, just as surely as he came down incarnate of the Holy Spirit by the Virgin Mary to save his people from their sins, so also our Lord, who sees our afflictions, is coming soon to rescue us and to bring us up out of this world of weariness, tears, and affliction into a land flowing with milk and honey, a new creation, a heavenly country, the eternal home of the people of God and of God himself, who loves us and sees us and saves us. To him be all glory through endless ages. Amen.